Former President Trump heads to North Carolina for a rally in Wilmington tomorrow. A new report from the Secret Service is critical of its own performance prior to the July assassination attempt against former President Trump.
Secret Service Acting Director Ronald Rowe released the report.
This was a failure on the part of the United States Secret Service.
Specifically, a failure on the part of some members of the advance team.
While some members of the advance team were very diligent, there was complacency on the part of others that led to a breach of security protocols.
And Rowe says those members will be held accountable.
And this agency has among the most robust table of penalties in the entirety of the federal government.
Former President Trump was wounded in the ear at that rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
An Israeli airstrike in Beirut kills a Hezbollah commander. CBS's Chris Liff
says. Chaos and confusion tore through the heart of Beirut's southern suburbs, Hezbollah's stronghold, following an Israeli airstrike. First responders desperately combed through the rubble of gutted apartments to find survivors, rushing them to the hospital. The target, Hezbollah commander Ibrahim Akil, wanted by the U.S. for his role in two bombings in 1983 that killed more than 300 people at the U.S. Embassy in Beirut and the U.S. Marine Corps barracks.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Todd Alba Show.
Troy, our grand prize winner from that just a bit outside the movie Text to Win contest out in beautiful Mount Horeb.
You gotta go see this movie. You know, you'll laugh, you'll cry. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true.
It is.
The no narrator was perfect for this movie, and that's what made the movie. Yeah. Seeing the players in their own words telling these stories.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real men of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man, losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Very painful, and didn't know in the moment what might have happened, you know, what the injury actually was, how long I might be out. So it was definitely a scary moment.
If Love can't go, Malik Willis will get his second start. His former team, the Tennessee Titans, hosts the Packers Sunday at noon. The NL Central champion Milwaukee Brewers lost Thursday 5-1 to the Arizona Diamondbacks. The loss puts the Brewers 3 games back of the National League's best record. Same 2 teams tonight in Milwaukee. Wisconsin basketball, both men's and women's, announced their conference schedules on Thursday. You can see them at uwbadgers.com. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a mostly clear sky, a low in the low 60s. And more sun than clouds for tomorrow and warm. Highs to the mid-80s. Then clouds move in Saturday night through Sunday. Occasional showers and a few thunderstorms. Cooler high in the low 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WISC Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
A good coconut tree. How about you? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are in the 3 o'clock hour, and so it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. Really excited to be joined today by Celinda Lake, president of the Lake Research Partners, a leading Democratic polling firm. And we're talking about the disconnect between both the purpose and the impact of Democratic economic policies, which largely are explicitly designed to work to the benefit of middle class and working class folks in states like Wisconsin, to help shore up small businesses, to help make childcare more affordable, to eliminate and penalize price gouging by grocers. I call it pandemic profiteering. They're like the war profiteers after World Wars One and Two. We made it illegal then. We can do it again. Kamala Harris has proposed things that will help regular working people, like $50,000 grants to help start small business, a $26,000 assistance for people buying their first homes. These are things that will help bridge the gap to raise the tide and thus raise all ships, meaning middle class ships, people. That's what we're talking about. And Celinda knows a little bit about why our messaging continues to struggle. Let's talk a bit about Gen Z swing voters, millennials as well. There seems to be a whole lot of hand-wringing about these folks. People are telling them that they're worried about things that are different from what other demographics of voters are concerned about. But it turns out from your research, Celinda, that Gen Z voters are worried about the same things that the rest of us are.
Yes, and that is particularly true for Gen Z, swing Gen Z voters. So we found that about a third of Gen Z voters were definitely most worried about the war in Gaza and very, very focused on that. But the rest of the 70%, 40% were focused on the economy and rising prices, and the inability to afford a home, the inability to pay afford education, much less pay off the debt, the inability to get a rising wage, what kind of side gig or multiple side gigs you have to make it in this economy, the fact that wages aren't going up, the fact that jobs are reducing their benefits, the fact that you can be laid off at any moment. And we found a third of the people, 30%, were worried about all the money we're spending abroad. We need this money here at home. So what I love about polling, Maggie, is conventional wisdom is wrong. You're not wrong. You're right. Conventional wisdom is wrong about 50% of the time. And it's great to have the polling to show it.
Yeah. As an economist, I have always had deep trust, frankly, in good objective data analysis. And the key word there is objective data analysis. It can be revolutionary. I want to pass along a question and a comment from Donna in DeForest, texting in from WMDX. She says, we're not looking at the price of eggs as reasonably cheap. And yet we continue to talk about this quite a bit. She points to the cost of housing, rent, credit cards, insurance, and medical costs as the things that really have, I'm going to call, a long-term burden on middle-class paychecks, on working people's budgets. And I'll just offer one brief explanation, and then I'd like to turn it back over to you, Celinda. Donna, one of the reasons that I think this gets brought up is that the price of eggs was at one point in time extraordinarily high. And a lot of people look to eggs, frankly, to try to bridge when they're a little short because eggs are such a cheap source of protein. It also gets mentioned a lot because we know that there are only a couple of egg producers in this country. And we know that they artificially suppressed supply, which helped keep prices artificially high for much longer than was necessary. Effectively, they gauged in a price fixing scheme by manipulating supply. So Donna from DeForest, that's in part the answer because it stands as a stark example of corporate pandemic profiteering that should be illegal and that Vice President Harris is proposing a stronger regulatory system to gird against. But again, she's mentioning things that are essential to all of us. I've had credit card debt that was blistering. I've received huge medical bills. It costs a lot for medical insurance, even employer provided. How are Democrats communicating about these now? And how should we be communicating about these sorts of issues going forward, Celinda?
Well, I think, first of all, a great question. And I really loved her feedback. Food costs are the number one thing that people mention when they're thinking about inflation, because the average woman goes to the grocery store three times a week and you're just confronted with it. And if the prices of food keep going up, you can't save money for any of those other things. Yeah. And then housing, absolutely out of control. And it's out of control all over the place. Helena, Montana, Omaha, Nebraska. We're not just talking about Manhattan and San Francisco.
Yeah.
And young people will never be able, those Gen Zers, they're convinced they'll never be able to afford a home. And a lot of seniors can't get out of their home because they can't, they don't dare try to get something else somewhere else. So it's really a problem. It's so great that you mentioned healthcare, because that is the second biggest cost that women raise in particular. And medical debt is really soaring. People's awareness of it is huge. A huge number of people have it. The average debt is over $10,000.
Oh,
it's not something you can control. You can control if you're going to go to college. You can control if you buy that Lexus car. You can't control medical debt. And as we said in the Michigan Senate race, GoFundMe is not a healthcare system.
No kidding. And it shouldn't be. Here's a couple things about housing prices. What we have seen is the explosion of private equity and hedge funds buying up housing stock by the thousands. I'm not just talking about apartments. I'm talking about single family homes. And once they own significant chunks of the housing stock, effectively they are exerting monopolistic type powers and they can set rents at whatever rates they want. Frankly, these are way above market rents to rent single family homes. It reduces the available supply for those that wish to purchase that might actually have saved enough, puts all of that out of reach. Kamala Harris has a plan for that, and it is to prosecute, to use the power of the FTC and the DOJ to go after those corporate landlords that are engaged in, frankly, illegal price fixing schemes and rent. Celinda, we've got to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Good fight, my friend. I appreciate all you do. That was Celinda Lake, president of the Lake Research Partners, a leading Democratic polling firm. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. We've got Terry Barr coming up next with what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin news after these brief messages.
Forget about the price tag.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
CBS News Brief. Hezbollah says a top military commander is dead after an Israeli airstrike in Beirut. CBS national security contributor Sam Vinograd.
An individual named Ibrahim Akil, who has been wanted by the United States for his role in bombings of the U.S. Embassy in Beirut and Marine barracks in the 1980s.
The Arizona Supreme Court rules that nearly 98,000 people whose citizenship documents had not been confirmed can vote in state and local races. Georgia's election board votes to require a ballot hand count. Former President Donald Trump holds a rally in Wilmington, North Carolina tomorrow. Today, Vice President Harris has been talking about reproductive rights in Georgia and Wisconsin.
And now in more than 20 states, we have Trump abortion bans, many with no exceptions even for rape and incest. It is immoral. It is immoral.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new report from the Wall Street Journal looked at the best college for student experience in the state, and their winner might surprise you. The paper says UW-Whitewater created the best environment for students in categories like quality of food and housing, diversity and opportunity, social life, and extracurricular activities. UW-Whitewater has the fourth largest student body in the UW system, with 11,700 enrolled this fall. The cases of whooping cough are 10 times higher than they were this time last year, according to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. More than 600 cases have been reported to officials so far this year, while all of last year, there were only about 50. Two-thirds of Wisconsin counties have at least one person who contracted the respiratory infection. Minors should be up to date on their vaccines, and adults should get an updated Tdap shot every 10 years. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba.
If you can stomach the topic, there will be a new docuseries about Sean Combs. The New York Post reports that the Investigation Discovery Network is behind the series. The creators of Quiet on the Set, the Dark Side of Kids TV docuseries, will produce. Quiet on the Set exposed the toxic behind-the-scenes environment on some popular kids' shows. The project does not have a title yet, but will feature alleged victims. Teachers don't get paid nearly enough unless they're on TV. The cast of Abbott Elementary received a lot of critical acclaim through the show's first three seasons. It's all paying off now, as they are getting what Deadline reports are major salary bumps. The Abbott cast won the Acting Ensemble Award for Comedy of the 2022 Screen Actors Guild Awards. The show has also won multiple Emmys and Golden Globe Awards. The show's fourth season premieres Wednesday, October 9th on ABC. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a mostly clear sky, a low in the low 60s. And more sun than clouds for tomorrow and warm, highs to the mid-80s. Then clouds move in Saturday night through Sunday, occasional showers and a few thunderstorms. Cooler high in the low 70s. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Thank you for tuning in. Got my friend Earl Ingram Jr., Civic Media's own. Earl, thanks for joining me and hanging out in Waukesha, man.
Man, you sound like you've done this before.
It's been a couple of times. I mean, not as old as veteran as you, perhaps, Earl.
The first time you're doing this under the Dominic Salvia Show, you've invited me. It's an honor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I noticed when you buy toilets, they all have like these snazzy names. The ambassador. Toilets do not do any kind of ambassadorship. This is for people who take huge dumps, this model.
The Ultimax.
The Ultimax. Why would you name a toilet that? Just a serial number is fine.
Every single toilet should be called the King's Throne. That's it.
Works. It's a lot easier.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, this is Aaron, Todd's producer. Next time, Todd's going to be back from Tuesdays in Monroe, and he's going to walk us through Vice President Harris's stop in Madison, as well as any other weekend news. Tune in.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Sing like a white winged dove, but I do some political talk. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 3:30 on Friday, and that means I'm not even doing the talking. We've got Civic Media's very own Terry Barr for what is good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry. It's so nice to have you on this beautiful Friday afternoon.
It's gorgeous, isn't it? I am loving this weather, and I don't know about you, but it could stay like this, through the winter for me.
Yeah, I've got no problem with high 70s. Got no problem with it.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of the theme. We're going to be talking in these two overlooked stories that I found about the season ahead, and of course, Halloween. And I don't know about your neighborhood, but my neighbors are already decorating. And I think they go out for Halloween much more than any other holiday now.
Yeah, I see that across neighborhoods now. It used to be a couple of pumpkins, maybe. Yeah. Out in the front now, I mean, people are unloading their pocketbooks at the Home Depot for all the decorations. It's impressive.
Well, here is a kind of fun story. As a kid, I remember going to the Milwaukee Public Museum many, many times with family and with school trips. And, you know, they are doing some recent renovations until they actually move to a new location, which will happen in 2027. But some of these recent renovations, many people were worried about some of the exhibits being taken down and not put up either until they move or not at all. And one of those is the Streets of Old Milwaukee. That is one of my favorites. You feel like you were walking through Milwaukee in the 1900s. It's just so well done. Well, it's not only back after some renovations and better than ever right now, but for all you Halloween lovers, the Streets of Old Milwaukee are going to be decorated with old Halloween props from the 1900s. How perfect! These are often handmade by whatever the homeowner would have around. So it's a great way to sort of see what people used to do when they didn't have a lot of money or an opportunity to buy things, as Maggie mentioned, at a place like Home Depot. So you can see this starting this weekend through November 4th at the Milwaukee Museum. And it sounds like it's going to be so cool, Maggie.
I've been a huge fan and supporter of the Milwaukee Public Museum for a long, long time. Certainly having worked at Milwaukee County, I talked with their executive director frequently. The county's support of the museum and its new home, which I've been driving past where they're finally building for the new museum. Such an important time. And what a cool exhibit. And again, such a great opportunity to see how folks used to decorate for these different events. Mm-hmm. I know I'll go check that out. And I didn't know about it. So thank you very much, Terry, for informing me about a way to celebrate the holiday. Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah. And they say they've never done this at the museum before. This will be a first of Halloween decorations. So I guess we're all a little bit Halloween crazy. So that's okay.
I love it. Good for the museum. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead, Terry.
Good. Here's the next one. And I'm really, really loving this. There is a Wisconsin author. He is now writing a book about some of the things he loves, which includes the Badger State, old farms, and trying to figure out, especially if they're abandoned, who may have lived there? What's the story? Mm. And autumn. So, Aaron, if you will, let's hear a little bit of Chris Hardy's writing. This is as he reads it to me by him.
I stopped the other day on a country road for a moment or two, a brief respite towards the end of another busy day. I drive by my point of rest every day. It's a barn no longer in use next to an abandoned farmhouse. The barn's not that old. The rounded roof appears to be in good shape, and it still has its faded red paint. Next to it is a small silo. There are many of these scenes dotting the countryside. Buildings on smaller family farms no longer needed, where the economics of farming has ended their usefulness. They stand silent and empty, eventually succumbing to the forces of nature. But on this late afternoon, I was beckoned to stop. The hillside behind the barn was a canvas of reds, orange, yellow, brown, and green, illuminated by the sun and framed by a bright blue sky. The setting sun was already casting a shadow on the floor of the valley, and in a few minutes, the scene would be lost. I pulled off the road to capture this moment of pure autumn in Wisconsin.
Again, that is author Chris Hardy. He lives in La Crosse. And as we know, with all the hillsides around La Crosse, it's just gorgeous all the time, but especially at this time of year. So happy autumn to everyone because it starts on Sunday.
How lovely. He's describing that magic hour in the late afternoon. And I think Wisconsin provides some of the most beautiful and bucolic moments, especially in the fall. You know, Terry, I've been lucky to have lived all over this country and abroad for some short periods of time, but every opportunity I have, whether it's the lakeside downtown landscape of Milwaukee or the gorgeous drive in the Kettle Moraine or driving up the Door Peninsula, perusing the Apostle Islands, the areas of Rhinelander, certainly the bluffs that Wisconsin offers, and the beautiful expanse in western Wisconsin along the Mississippi River. I really think the fall time in Wisconsin is one of the most beautiful. And I think it gives us all a moment and an opportunity to reflect on how lucky we are to live in this state, right? And frankly, how much agreement there is amongst Wisconsinites about how important our environment, our natural resources are. Wisconsin has always been a conservation state because we all enjoy the outdoors so very much. A brief story about when I'm late fall camping. I have done it extensively in Wisconsin, but I also had an opportunity to do some late fall camping in Colorado. Now, Colorado opposes a little bit different weather swings in late fall than does Wisconsin. And thank goodness I was prepared. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting, Terry. We had, of course, pitched our tents in an area that had a bit of a windbreak down at a river's bend. And for those that know Colorado, I was in the Poudre Valley. And so in the Poudre Valley, we had our tents pitched. We had our fire going. It was a long day of getting everything set up. And of course, one of the great things about fall and winter camping is you don't have to worry about your ice melting in your coolers because everything stays naturally cold. But it got really, really cold that night. And so as the group of us were all huddled around, and we had done a goodly amount of hiking that day, we all unshod, right? We took our hiking boots off and put our feet up to warm ourselves by the fire. And as we passed a bottle of what could have been an adult beverage around while we're regaling ourselves and each other with old tall tales, I noticed a bit of smoke emanating from the bottom of my feet, Terry. I lit my freaking like hiking socks on fire sitting around the campfire. And there I am in my camp chair, falling over, swatting the bottom of my feet out as my friends absolutely died laughing at me. Of course, because I've done a little bit of hiking, I had the liner socks on and then my woolies over it. So no harm to the tender bottoms of my feet. But those hiking socks were definitely RIP after that little fall camping evening fire adventure.
Yeah, I bet you never expected that. And you've got so many great stories that I could just listen to you tell your stories time I get a chance to chat with you.
I love not knowing what you're going to talk about, Terry, because it brings a smile to my face. And it usually triggers some hijinks from my younger days. I will say this, folks, when you got your feet up and your shoes off, don't let your hiking socks on fire. That is a lesson I only needed to learn but once. And Terry, I thought I would do you a favor this weekend and tell you a little bit of what might be good local and overlooked. This one coming out of local Wisconsin, or local Milwaukee, excuse me. It was National Cheeseburger Day this past Wednesday, which everybody loves a good burger. And there was a Wisconsin cheeseburger that made the list of the nation's best. Cops Frozen Custard made Yelp Elite's list of the 20 best places to grab a cheeseburger. Of course, Cops, known probably as much for their burgers, their cheeseburgers, as they are for its custard, they came and ranked 11th on the list and was the only Wisconsin restaurant that made Yelp's elite list of the best places to grab a cheeseburger in the United States. And interestingly to note, the number one spot is in Hawaii, which I wouldn't have guessed if you would have given me 49 guesses. Hawaii would not have been on my guess of the best place to grab a burger.
Does it have pineapple in it?
That's what I was really curious about that. There's this great joint just over the 16th Street Bridge that has a Hawaiian burger, and it has a slice of grilled pineapple, ham, and Havarti cheese on the hamburger. And I like to put a little Red's hot sauce on that puppy, and that is delicious. What's your favorite burger, Terry?
I like mine medium rare.
Oh, of course.
But I love it. Yeah. And this whole new idea of the smash burger, where everything's kind of put inside the burger, and it just is, it's almost like when you were a kid and you ate pizza burgers.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's kind of fun to like try and make up some new recipes of your own. And that is one thing my husband loves to do. And I would have to say that his burgers are actually one of my favorites.
Oh, well, that's so that. Well, Terry, I'm going to have to impose upon you and your husband sometime to have one of his now Wisconsin Civic Media famous hamburgers. You know, you're of a certain ilk.
That.
Oh, I would love it too. You know, you're of a certain ilk when your mom fried you up some pizza burgers back in the day. That is of a time, Terry. Listen, enjoy this most beautiful weekend. Enjoy the Brewers qualifying for the playoffs, Terry. And thanks
Isn't
so much.
Wonderful.
It is absolutely fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing again in this 3:30 slot on Fridays what's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. Thanks, Terry.
Have a wonderful weekend, everyone, and same to you, Maggie and Aaron, as well.
Folks, when we come back, I'm going to talk about this appeals court ruling tossing Republican Senator Corey Tomchick's defamation lawsuit. You're not going to believe how this one got started or the ridiculousness of his argument. And frankly, this is part of the attack on independent media outlets, not just the one that reported on Corey Tomchick's alleged homophobic slur, but the attacks that can sometimes come the way of little outlets like Civic Media. We got that story coming up for you next in this last segment of the Maggie Dawn Show this week here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
You feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Going back to this interview we just had again, many thanks to Michael Cohen, former attorney and fixer for Donald Trump. Let's go back to the phone lines. Don in Milwaukee. Don, thanks for holding. What say you?
My God, that I've been listening to your station, Civic Media, for a long time, and this was a blockbuster. I was absolutely riveted.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance, throw the run on.
I need you to listen, and I appreciate when you do. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you all are having a beautiful Friday afternoon. I hope the work day is over, that you've got a refreshing beverage on the way. If you are driving home, be sure that you're driving safely. I anticipate there's going to be a wee bit of traffic. We've had some major closures, 894 shut down here in the Milwaukee area. We got Brewers games. We've got political rallies going on. So, folks, be patient. Put your windows down. Crank the radio up, especially if it is Civic Media. And everybody, unless you're driving, get your cell phones ready, because in the 4 o'clock hour, Dom Salvia, which is coming up next, is going to be giving away some green or gold in our statewide text to win contest. every hour. And in the 4 o'clock hour today, Don's going to drop the secret word of the hour. You're going to text that in via the Civic Media app, which you can get for free from your favorite app store. And we'll give away either $100 or some gold jewelry in the 4 o'clock hour. Your text will also register you to win our grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the Green and Gold in Green Bay on Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. Good luck to you all. But I need to close out this week with another one of those head scratchers. And boy, does this not bode well. A state appellate court has thrown out a Republican state senator's lawsuit accusing an online news outlet of defamation after it reported he was overheard using a homophobic slur against a teenager and another individual testifying at a public hearing. In its 36-page decision, the District 3 Appeals Court rejected State Senator Corey Tomchick's argument that the Wausau Pilot and Review intentionally and maliciously published stories inaccurately accusing him of using the slur while in the audience at an executive committee of the Marathon County Board in August 2021. The debate at the time was over a resolution, a proposed resolution calling for greater diversity and inclusion in the community. So here's what. First of all, I don't know why it is acceptable for Republicans to continue to reward one another for opposing things like greater inclusion in the community. Huh? Like, forget the dog whistling and the overreactionary histrionics about talking about inclusion. If you're a community, if you're a county board, if you eventually become a state senator, don't you want people to feel included in the community? Or is your message that you only want people who look, think, pray, and believe exactly as you do to be included in the community? And if that's your take, then democracy ain't it, right? Because that's not what democracy is. Democracies don't distinguish between people based on their gender. They don't distinguish and say you belong and you don't based on race. That's illegal discrimination. So why in God's name would Corey Tomchick take time at the time he wasn't an elected representative, he wasn't an elected state senator, he was a very successful businessman. What was so deeply troubling about a county board resolution supporting inclusion in the community in Marathon County? He took time out of his day to go down there to oppose it. And in the process of doing so, according to three people who heard Tomchick's comment, he used homophobic slurs towards a teenager. I'm guessing the teenager was probably a member of the LGBTQIA plus community. And this is who this rich businessman is going to pick on. And to make matters worse, when called on it by the Wausau Pilot and Review, his response isn't, "My gosh, I'm so sorry. That was stupid," which would have made this a zero news cycle thing. Everybody would have just moved on. No, what he does is sue this online publication, the Wausau Pilot and Review. Why does he do this? Not because the law is on his side, because the Wausau Pilot and Review relied on three people who heard what the guy said and reported it. He was a limited public figure because of his leadership as a business owner. So they weren't reporting a knowing falsehood, and they therefore didn't do it maliciously or intentionally to defame or harm Mr. Tomchick. It's called accountability, sir. If you say it and you say it out loud, even while sitting in the audience of a public meeting and someone overhears it, it's fair game to report. Here's what Shireen Seward, founder and editor of the nonprofit news website, had to say of the outcome of the case. Quote, "I am relieved that the court has upheld the fundamental right of journalists to report truthfully on matters of public concern, reaffirming the importance of free and independent press. While this victory is encouraging, the prolonged legal battle has taken a toll on our organization and underscores the need for stronger protections for journalists in Wisconsin." It cost this small little outlet over $200,000 over 3 years to defend itself. Folks, let's call on the state of Wisconsin to enact a law that allows news outlets to collect their attorney's fees when they prevail in these bogus defamation lawsuits, which now seem to be the stock and trade of the Republican Party. That's going to do it for me on this edition of the Maggie Dolan Show. Dom Salvi is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it's always better when we stand together. Happy weekend, y'all.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Mr. Global will be here to talk about gas and energy prices. Send in your questions to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Israel's military announces and Hezbollah confirms that an airstrike in Lebanon has killed a top Hezbollah commander. More on the latest escalation in the region from CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Both Hezbollah and Israel had spent the previous hours exchanging fire, a near daily occurrence since the October 7th attack on Israel by the terror group Hamas. At the White House, President Biden said his team will keep working on a ceasefire.
A lot of things don't look realistic until we get them done.
And isn't giving up despite the ongoing violence.
Georgia's election board has passed a measure to count every vote by hand this November. University of Virginia political analyst Larry Sabato.
So instead of releasing the results of the election on the evening of the election or the early morning after the election, it's probably going to take many, many, many more hours. And that assumes there are no disputes.
Natalie Brand is in Arlington, Virginia, which joined Minnesota and South Dakota in starting in-person early voting today.
In Virginia, in-person voting.